Fit more of what you love in the new Tiguan all-space 7-seat SUV at Southern Volkswagen. Main South Road, Ranella.
On Triple M's Ruined It for Breakfast, it's comedian and five-star jerk, Lawrence the Moon Man Mooney.
Move on, mate, and just do your Malcolm Turnbull impersonation.
It's Lawrence Mooney!
Yeah, let's get him on.
Hey,
how are you, Moon Man?
I'm very well indeed, guys. An accusation came my way, and I want to run this by you. I've bought myself a Ford Ranger, okay? And I think I've run this by you before. Right. Never had a new car before. My wife said,
never had a new car.
Never had a brand new car. Wanted to go into the showroom. You order it, and they put the blanket on it, and you tear it off.
It's very exciting, isn't it?
It is. Lovely. And so it's black on black. The guy said to me, you know, four-wheel drive, mate, are you into sand, mud, you know, snow? What kind of a guy are you? I said, I've got a friend with a gravel driveway, and I think that's about as hardcore as it's going to get.
Oh, T-Rex tractor.
He goes, oh, right, so what are you going to put in the back? You know, are you a motorbike guy, surf ski? What's going to go in the back of it? I said, probably a couple of boxes of wine. So I drove it to work the other day, and the producer from Kennedy Malloy saw it outside, and he goes, ooh, 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 driving your penis replacement around. And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, ooh, big black penis replacement. Yeah. I said, now, hold on, I don't buy into this. I've never made that connection. It's like I feel, you know, not quite a man, therefore I'm going to go and get a big car.
Gee whiz.
And I said, I've also got a little yellow car. You know, so which one is it? Is it the big black one or is it the tiny yellow one? He goes, you tell me. So, I mean, I just want to say to you guys, you know, what kind of car are you driving? I know that you drive around in a 50-seater bus, Roo.
Yeah. I did have a Toyota Hilux with black on black, man, so I know exactly what you were going through.
Do you remember Mr. Kincaid in the Partridge Family?
That's right. He used to drive the bus around.
No, there's nothing wrong with having a penis replacement. I mean, we all need a bit of a confidence.
It's a big toy. What are you driving around
in? I'm driving the Jaguar SUV.
He's driving the Jag.
F-Pace Jag.
That is definitely a penis replacement.
Beautiful.
Coming down from Harndorf.
Yes. Arr, big claws. Big teeth.
Well, that's good, man. You got a new car to go to your new house. Next, you have a new wife.
I've already done that. That's a little bit more than a car. But... recently, we went down to...
You got a new dog? The dog
came to work with me when I was on Kennedy Malloy, and it was the other day. Lounsey was a guest on the show. So I'm into motorsport. Whenever I'm in town for the Fringe, I always go to the Clipsal. Lounsey has piqued my attention. Now, there's two types of people in the world. There's dog people, and there's people that don't like dogs, that is the divide in the world. Lounsey comes out of the studio, sees Rupert, immediately straight onto his knees. He goes,
great name for a dog.
Who is this little man? Who is this little man? I went, oh, Lounsey, that's Rupert. And so he was really getting into him, giving him a lovely pat. Yeah. And Rupert had the back leg going.
He
had the back leg. And he's looking up at me. He looked a bit guilty. He said, is it okay if Lounsey pats me? Because I'm loving this. Anyway, the Maybelline came straight out. The Revlon, straight out. So... of Rupert I'm talking about. Lipstick. Lounsey knows what he's doing when he's patting a dog.
Shivers, Lounsey.
Rupert aroused.
That's how he treats his cars.
See, you don't realise this, but see, a lot of people in Adelaide call Rupert, so that's why he's very happy with the name.
I see.
That's his other nickname, Rupert.
Yeah, I've got a few nicknames.
That's
not
Rupert
about
Murdoch.
Me, this is about your dog.
Because you're a media magnate as well.
Our new phone in today, who's the most famous person that patted your dog?
That's made me choke up.
What are you
that is very funny.
What have you been doing, sucking a few darts or something?
No, I just pulled a couple of cones before work.
Oh, don't.
Punched a couple of cones in the Ford Ranger out the front.
Now, we heard the other day...
I live in Melbourne. I've got a chest infection. Everyone's got one here. We live on a swamp.
Yeah. You got smog like Beijing.
Yeah,
over there.
You are. You've got listen, traffic problems.
I was listening online to your radio show the other day, believe it or not, and you did a segment about leaving things on the roof of your car.
Mm. Yes, we went to a wedding, first same-sex wedding, actually. It was lovely. And
blokes or girls?
Two guys. And one, you know, I thought, how's this going to work? Does one arrive early and the other one gets walked down the aisle? Oh, and that's the way it worked out.
Do they have the two dads?
No. One was walked down the aisle by his mum. And, you know, it's all rules are out.
What's the wording in the vows? You take him to be your husband? And then the other one says, and you take him to be your husband?
Your husband.
Is that how it works?
No, it wasn't. There was a bit of husband work in there, but it was like partner for life, I think, more wording. But anyway, let's not digress from the more important issue of what did you leave on your car.
Yeah, that's right.
So we had to leave early because Maggie, our five-year-old, was with us. And Janie, the mother of one of the boys that got married, said, you know, make sure you take some wedding cake. And Maggie was very keen on the wedding cake. We took it home to the hotel room, put it in the fridge. Packing up the car the next day, I get in, we're in Lou's car, the Kluger, and driving off down the road, and I just see something fly out the back window, fly onto the road via the rear vision mirror, and it's the wedding cake. And then I hear this rumbling, boom, 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 and off go the jar of M&Ms too that Maggie had wanted to take from the wedding because they had a kids' table and they just smashed on the road behind us. And I looked at Lou and I've gone, I think that was the wedding cake. She goes, and the M&Ms.
I've seen people do that. In a car park the other day, a lady, you know, had her hands full. She put her coffee on the roof of the car. And I watched it happen.
Go and tell her anything?
Well, it's too late. She was too quick. She just took off and the coffee went. So people do that all the time.
And people have got amazing stories about what they've left on the roof of their car for a while, and then they get to their destination after doing some genuine four-wheel driving. It's like, there it is, still sitting there. So, we want to know, Adelaide, what have you left on the roof of your car?
All right. We might check that out a bit later.
Hey, Moons, have a good weekend.
All right, guys. See you later.
Moons.
What a goal! Ruin Dits Overnight Sports.
Adelaide Tools' massive Milwaukee sale is on this Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, today it is. It starts. Hey, Roo, two very, very big games of football. One tonight, one tomorrow. I'm looking forward to these. Hawthorn and Melbourne tonight.
Yep.
Collingwood GWS tomorrow. These are going to be great games.
Yeah, absolutely they are. And Melbourne are really short price favourites now after Jaeger O'Meara has been a late withdrawal with a knee injury. Yep. So into $1.42. Melbourne, going to chat to the coach, Simon Goodwin, later on. We're going to chat to Bruce McAvaney as well about his thoughts of tonight's game. And then tomorrow's game, Collingwood and GWS. I mean, you can toss a coin. Lots of people on the back of GWS.
So Josh Kelly hasn't come up?
No, he hasn't. But they've got plenty of depth and lots of people in Collingwood's corner as well. So massive game. I'm going for Hawthorn and Collingwood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But it could easily be Melbourne.
I'm going GWS.
Yeah, so wait and see.
I reckon in the year that the Bulldogs won, I just think the GWS have come good at the right time. They're just building and building each week.
Sure have. Jared Pollock finally informed Port Adelaide that he wants to move to North Melbourne next year. Now, this has been spoken about for ages. We know all that. But the first man in Australia to mention it, and I am not exaggerating here, Dits, you were the first man to say it. Back in June on the 26th at 8:20 a.m., you informed every Port Adelaide supporter that Jared Pollock was leaving the club.
There are two clubs in Melbourne circling, and when I say circling, actually offering substantial money. I'm led to believe that North Melbourne will throw big money at Jared Pollock, and the other club, though, is St Kilda.
Spot on the mail there, Ditch. Your prediction skills were just triple 20 in darts terms, 180 there. So work with St Kilda did come hard as well, but North Melbourne have got the chocolates. Port Adelaide will get a really good deal out of in terms of draft picks, but that's not going to help them next year.
No, we lose a good player there, but I don't blame anyone, pardon me, at the club. I think it was a situation where he was just made such a great offer that what could they do?
So just if people don't know, what happened at the start of the year, Pollock wanted a three-year deal at around $500,000 at the start of the year. Now, Pollock's had injury, so Port said, let's just see how you go.
Yeah.
Started having a really good year. Port offered him the three-year deal at about the halfway mark and said, well, here you go, sign it. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, you know, because I've actually played pretty well, I've actually got some really good other offers on the table now, like North Melbourne, 5 years at 750. You have to raise it. Port didn't raise it at all, and you know what? They shouldn't have either, probably, because he's had injuries and you got to be careful to blow your salary cap. Unfortunately, when someone comes and offers ridiculous money for a ridiculous length of time, you have to let them go. Otherwise, you blow your salary cap. Every other manager in the competition will see what happens if you raise your bid, and they do it with every other Victorian or Western Australian player, and you end up not having enough good players.
So
in
you
your
just
salary
try
cap.
And get the best deal you can, because you've got
no choice. Otherwise, you overpay for everyone.
Yeah. Mm. All right, we got that one right. Mm. Hey, Roo, rule changes quickly. Now, I want to ask you in depth about this in about 15 minutes' time. But so the 666 structure at every bounce, the 18-metre goal square, and they're saying tighten up on interpretation, which I agree with that one for sure. But I'll ask you all about that a little bit later on. In the SANFL on the weekend, this will be a good game, the prelim final. I've really enjoyed the SANFL final. So Woodville, West Torrens and North Adelaide will be a beauty.
Yep.
The winner to take on Nord in the grand final. And tell us about Winks, Roo.
Well, Winks chases more history at Randwick in the George Main Stakes, where she's the short price favourite to get its 27th consecutive victory. And if you think she's getting old and slowing down and a little bit vulnerable, well, the trainer reckons it's going better than ever. We'll have a chat to Bruce Maney just after 7 o'clock on one.
That's our look at sport. As I said, we'll ask Roo about the rule changes in this half hour coming up. That's our look at sport. Thanks to the Milwaukee sale that's today and tomorrow at Adelaide Tools. Roo and Ditz here on Triple M.
The top five things we've learned on Roo and Ditz this week.
Number five, we learnt about a bundle of joy born in a pizza shop.
She went in to buy a large pizza.
Yeah.
And had to come out with a family
Better
pizza.
Make that a family, she said.
Yeah. Giving birth on the floor.
It changes the old question, do you deliver?
In more ways than one. We deliver.
That's right.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie.
It's a boy.
She's called the baby pepperoni.
Number four, Crows captain and dad joke expert Tex Walker chatted from Broken Hill. And we learnt it was someone else's turn to tell the joke this week.
What else happens in Broken Hill? What are the other tourist attractions?
The mines, that's the main attraction here. My brother works up at Prillia, so I've been underground once, which was pretty scary.
After last year's grand final. You went underground. Come on, that's just a joke, Tex.
Tex wasn't laughing at that one. Number three, we learnt Roo and Ditz always cover the big topics.
Hello, David.
Like sinkholes.
What do you mean the sinkhole? Now, we're not talking about the Blue Lake.
Oh, I nearly got divorced at the sinkhole.
What's the sinkhole?
There's sinkholes scattered all around Mount Gambier and that. And there's one in the main street behind the town hall.
Have you been to that?
No.
It's actually pretty amazing.
Is it?
Yeah, we went through
All right, there thanks, David. Tell me about the sinkhole.
Oh,
route.
It's just huge. It'd be 30, 40 metres deep, walk all the way around it on the steps that they've put in. It's a big tourist attraction there.
What do you mean you don't know about the sinkhole in Mount Gambier, Ditz? Haven't you heard the old song?
There's a hole in Mount Gambier, Mount Gambier, Mount Gambier. There's a hole in Mount Gambier, Mount Gambier, a sinkhole.
And
so you walk all the way around it?
Or walk all the way in it. And the kids... Well,
then what do you do? And then you walk back the other way around it?
You know what it is?
Can you go both ways?
Yeah.
And you can stare into the hole, can you?
Get a load of this, though. What? It's just a big hole.
Oh, wow. Why haven't I checked this out before?
You've got to go to Mount Gambier.
Can you do tourism segments for us?
Tune in next week to Get Away with Roo as he takes us on a tour of the salt pans in Bolivar. Number two, we learnt about residential solar battery systems.
How much does it cost? Does it help in blackouts?
Better speak to an expert.
Let's get to our Minister for Energy and Mining on the line.
Who can explain the battery rebate scheme? Dan Van Hospelican can.
Dan Van Hospelican. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, fellas. Well, any household is welcome to apply. Every household that doesn't already have the battery would be eligible. What we're doing is offering a...
Unfortunately, the chat was a bit of a snooze fest.
...subsidy towards the purchase of a household battery, which would be up to $6,000.
They talked about batteries.
Battery storage.
Household battery.
A lot.
Can't just have the battery.
Put it into your battery.
And kept going and going.
How long will that battery?
Nothing outlasts the Energizer.
Storage of the battery.
Passive batteries.
Have these batteries.
They keep going.
Combined with the battery.
The purchase of the battery.
And going and going.
5 kilowatt hour battery.
Maybe if they had Metallica's song Battery playing along with this interview, it would have kept everyone awake.
Solar combined with the battery.
The purchase of the battery.
Purchase of the battery.
A 5 kilowatt hour battery.
Batteries made in China or
battery manufacturer.
Win, win, win.
Now we're awake. And the number one thing we learned this week is that money doesn't grow on trees, but it can get stuck in trees.
A cat just got out of the house late last night and it is right up the top of a massive tree at my joint. Now $1,000 cat. I've got a ladder, but this tree is massive.
How high is the tree?
Like, it's very high. It'd be super dangerous to go under.
So we were in touch with the RSPCA, got hold of SES.
State Emergency Service.
Got hold of the Fire Brigade.
Mm-hmm. After the RSPCA, SES, Fire Brigade, Channel 7 Chopper and Ace Ventura Pet Detective got involved.
Alrighty then.
Eventually, the cat came down and survived.
Anyway, the cat came down.
But the best part of this story is the texts between Mark Rusciuto and Alice, the show's producer, while the cat saga was unfolding.
So you started off flying around the tree, and I just sent off a little panda wag just to put a smile on my face.
So you started off
said,
with
this is a catastrophe,
right? Alice sends back, Sarah must be having kittens.
Yep, which I got a little laugh over that.
And then you sent back.
She is, actually, but there's no point crying over spilt milk.
Right. Then Alice sent back, just climb the tree. Don't be a pussy. And you sent back.
There's not enough room to swing a cat.
Meanwhile, the poor cat's still up there. Alice comes back with, tell them all not to stress. I have a good feline about this.
And I said, yeah, I need to have a rest now. I need to go and have a cat nap.
Oh, and the fireman said to the cat, jump, it's meow or never.
Right, I'm going to pause it right there because we haven't even scratched the surface of these puns and I'm becoming catatonic.
The top five things we've learned on Ruined Dits this week.
Now listen to Dan Van Hulst-Pellacan, our energy minister. I enjoyed the segment,
I thought
Dan.
It was a bloody good
and it
chat
was informative.
About batteries.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and you're welcome to come on this show anytime.
God almighty.
Very rude, disrespectful.
Anyway, good segment, that one.
Yeah, the week that was. Hey, in a moment, Ru, I want to ask you about these AFL rules, the rule changes. They are coming in.
We've talked about it all year.
No, I want you to explain. Oh, what you're meant to be an expert.
Oh, yeah,
please tell us what's happening.
Footy expert.
Ruined, it's on Triple M. Now, Ru, things that we've known for a long time, really, the rule changes that have been mooted have come to fruition. They're talking about three zones of six, right? So just explain that
just
to
us. Just at the start, and just at the centre bounce. Six in the forward 50, six in the back 50, four in the centre square, and two on the wings.
Now, is this after every goal, is
this
it?
This is just after goal. So it only affects the first bounce. It doesn't affect...
So will that change it
much? What it will do is it'll just change the time you, when you do your centre bounce, obviously. It'll create more space for that. What it will bring into the game is more speed. If you know, you're better to have more speed because there'll be more space. What congestion does is take away players who are good in space and good in time and hard to catch.
Right.
Because there's no space.
Right.
So what's good about this?
When we first heard about zones, I thought, don't tell me it's like netball where you've got to stay in your third of the oval, but it's only at the centre bounce.
No, it's only at the centre bounce. Good. So then they can run as hard as they want after that. So I'm not sure whether the two wingmen actually have to be on the wings or whether they can come off from centre half back or they can be at centre half forward or whatever. So that we'll just find out a bit more about that. But at this stage, it will create more space at centre squares, which is going to put more of a premium on players winning the contest at the mm-hmm. centre square,
yep.
and it'll put more premium on speed around the centre square. So you could see more scoring there. That could be good.
18-metre goal square.
18-metre
goal. What does that do?
What it does is give makes defending the kick-in harder. So over the last 10 years, 15 years perhaps, we've gone from having Rocket Rod Carter and Andrew Dunkley or the fullback kicking in like we did have 30 years ago to having a Brody Smith type player
who can hit a target,
who can kick at 60 metres with low, fast passes and break the zone open, right? With an 18-metre goal square as opposed to our 9-metre goal square, you will be now landing it well and truly into the centre square. You'll be nearly landing it dead set at the halfway mark of the oval, or you'll be able to kick it right out onto the wing. Mm-hmm. So it's going to make defending the kick in harder. So it's going to make, you know how they talk about keeping the ball in your half of the game and playing the game on your own terms, all this sort of stuff. It'll be harder to keep the ball in your forward 50. So kicking a point now will actually be even worse than it was. You know how a lot of people have said, oh, it's better to be out of bounds than a point over the last couple of years because you can get a boundary throw in as opposed to giving it to Brody Smith and he can drill it out onto the wing.
Yep.
So once again, should ease congestion.
So do you like this one?
I think it potentially could be good. It'll look a bit weird. They reckon back in the early 1900s that the actual square come out from the point post and went out 18 metres, and it was a big,
that's interesting,
big square,
yeah, right.
18 metre square. We're now talking about an 18 metre by whatever it is between the goalposts rectangle.
So I'm going to now say rectangle. He's in the goal rectangle.
It's been a rectangle anyway, Ditz. The last few years, it's not actually a square.
Because we always say goal square.
Well, it was a goal square when it was point post, you know.
He's in the goal isosceles triangle. That would make it more interesting.
So I think it's going to open it up again. So their main aim out of these rules is to open up the game.
He's in the goal tetrahedron.
Yeah, so the main thing is to open up the game. These two first rule changes actually will do that, I think. And then the third one is just stricter interpretation of the actual rules that are in place.
Well, this one I like because I'm presuming it means when there's holding the ball, they'll pay it. Because at the moment, I get frustrated. I think tacklers should be rewarded. But if they pay a holding the ball, the crowd will disperse, won't it? The players will take off because someone's about to get a kick.
The one they're really going to clamp down on is incorrect disposal of the ball. You'd see at the moment, if you haven't had prior opportunity and you get tackled and the ball just drops, they just call play on. I think what they're going to do now is if you hold, you get tackled and you hold onto the ball, it'll still be a ball up. But if you drop the ball or you miss the kick or whatever, they will pay holding the ball. Mm. At that point, players, what they call spread, you heard that term, and they run to create space. Mm. So
really, all of these will, you know, look like they'll be good changes.
Potentially. And you know what? If they don't get it right, they'll change it back. I can't see it hurting the game. I can see it making the game better. So I don't think there's any downside other than, you know, people not wanting rule changes. So at this stage, I'm a positive. Let's wait and see what happens.
Good on your route. Crew, it is going to be an enormous weekend of sport starting tonight.
Yep. Two huge games of football tonight. Well, both at the MCG. Hawthorn taking on Melbourne. Hawthorn could go out in straight sets and the Demons could continue on, which most people think they are a genuine chance to go all the way.
The man calling all the action on Channel 7 tonight. Bruce McAvaney, good morning.
And Ditson Roo, yeah, no, great time. And as you say, two cracking matches, I reckon.
Roo's got this theory, Bruce, about the teams that are coming up from the bottom half of the eight. The winners of those taking on the losers. What's your theory,
Roo? Generally, the losers of the top four clash, people get sucked into thinking they're not as good as the winners of the bottom half. But the bottom half of the eight, they usually play against sides like Geelong didn't really rock up last week. And you could argue, did Sydney rock up? So those performances by GWS and Melbourne, if you look at them isolated, look better than a loss of Hawthorn to Richmond or the loss of Collingwood to West Coast. So everyone goes, oh, those winners, you know, that will back them. But then the top four.
So what do you think, Bruce?
No, look, Roo's right. I mean, over the years, the stats back him up completely. I mean, it's more than 80% that those losers win. But and I've gone 50-50 this week. Look, my feeling this year was there wasn't much difference between the eighth team and the second team. I mean, Richmond has clearly been the number one team all year. But if you look at the other seven teams and how many wins they've had, in fact, look at the four teams playing this weekend. Every one of these four teams has lost eight matches this year after last weekend. So I reckon it was a pretty even competition. So yeah. I don't reckon that'll hold up this year as much. So I've gone 50-50. I'm going for one winner and one loser last week. But I'm thinking both matches will be close.
And Hawthorn could have easily been up at halftime last week if Burgoyne and Bruce kicked those goals. And if you're up, you know, the psyche of all 44 players and coaches are very different at halftime. So not sure if they'll do it tonight, Hawthorn, but it'll be good to see. And I'll tell you what, Melbourne are just hitting the finals in absolute pristine condition. Like, they're trained to the minute. They're beating top eight sides. They look like they're on top of the ground. They look chock-a-block full of confidence. So their preparation could not be any better, Bruce.
No, they're explosive, aren't they, guys? I mean, they are great to watch. They've got this dynamic midfield that have got so much energy about them. And they've got a magnificent ruckman, we know. And they're a big scoring team. Look, I've been impressed. I think, you know, like you just said, Roo, a moment ago, a lot of people are thinking they can go all the way. And I'm thinking if they win tonight, they've got a massive chance in Perth because they did that recently. Hawthorn, I agree. I reckon the last 5 minutes of the second quarter cost them their chance. They were going as well as Richmond. And then Richmond kicked a couple of guys before half-time. It was a wet night. I expect Hawthorn to come back. And look, I reckon this is the best scenario. Melbourne are a goal in front with 10 minutes to go because you know they're going to get tight. They've lost all these close matches this year, and you know Hawthorn will keep sort of coming. So I reckon that's the scenario. But I'm going the D's. And then on Saturday, well, look, I think Collingwood have been very good all year, and the Giants were magnificent last week. And now sort of last 8-10 weeks have been great. But I'm thinking Sydney didn't turn up. That was the one team I reckon didn't really turn up last week.
And I think the other thing in Collingwood's favour is just the fact that they'll have 90,000 at the MCG. They'll 89.5 of those will be Collingwood.
At the except for Kevin Sheedy.
The Sheeds, who's throwing more hand grenades this week, and good luck to him. But the MCG has brought plenty of sides undone, and GWS, you know, they've only won 1 of 5 at the MCG in the last few years. I think you'd have the stat there, Bruce. But I'm going for Collingwood at that one, purely because of that.
Look, I am too, and guys, there's a little bit about me. I mean, I've been really impressed with the Giants this year. I mean, I reckon they've shown a lot more determination than we thought they were capable of, because I reckon last year we were thinking, okay, they've had their chance and they've missed it. But I've got this feeling we're going to have a big Melbourne grand final between either Richmond and Melbourne or Collingwood and Melbourne. And I this town's going to go crazy. And if Collingwood do win, we've got Richmond Collingwood next Friday night at the MCG. It'll be crazy.
Yeah. God, imagine people trying to get tickets. It'd be unbelievable. The phone calls that you get on a normal week, Bruce, people wanting tickets. Rue will be inundated. Go on, Rue.
No, I was just going to say, before we go, Bruce, Winks, come back better than ever, they're talking about, or certainly as good as ever. Can it be beaten?
Look, I'm nervous, Rue, because there's a horse in the race called Unforgotten, who I think is an unbelievable talent. Gee, and it's a stablemate. But
it will never be unforgotten if it beats me.
I've already written the line in my book for tomorrow. But no, I think Winx will win. I hope Winx wins. But, you know, from now on, Rue, I'm not going to talk to you about racing. I'm going to talk to Ditz. I'm going to give him my best bets every Friday because he told me that Jared Pollock. He told me Jared Pollock was going to North Melbourne 3 months ago. I want him to mark my card.
It was a fluke. Now, just on that, Bruce, so I take you, you've said that Winx will win, but I'll be interested to look at this horse, Unforgotten. What's this is a question, we're putting you on the spot here, but whether it's, I don't know, Carl Lewis in athletics or anything over your great journey, was there a bold prediction you made that came up? Is there one you can think of?
I reckon the best, I was about 13 years of age and I saw Galilee win a big race at Victoria Park, and my father and I said, "There's the Caulfield Cup, Melbourne Cup winner," and he did. But the best prediction I've ever heard was 3 years ago on your program when I laughed at Rue and he told me that Winx was as good as Kingston Town. That was the best prediction I've ever heard.
Come on, we want your best prediction, not my best prediction.
Good. I reckon as a 13-year-old, Bruce, you might have skipped a few lessons too to go to the races at times.
I did, and I certainly was having a bet in those days.
Good on you, Bruce. Mate, it's going to be an incredible weekend of sport, and you'll be front and centre, so have a great time, won't you?
All the best, boys.
Good on you, Bruce. Channel 7's Bruce McAvaney.
What a great weekend we have got coming up. Nice of Bruce to give us a little bit of a compliment there.
Pat on the back.
Pat on the back from Bruce.
There's no higher praise in the land.
No, because this is going way back to 2015 at October, roughly.
So you made a prediction at the time. You said that Winx would be better than Kingston Town, would be the best horse we've seen.
Speaking of giving a pat on the back, I'm not going to take this pat on the back because it was told from a very smart horseman to me that Winx was going to be a superstar. And we asked Bruce about
this
was 2015, Ditz. So we're going back over 3 years ago, or nearly 3 years ago, whatever it is, about whether Winx would turn into a better horse than Kingston Town. At this time, it had not won a Cox Plate. It's now won 3 Cox Plates and about to have a crack at its 4th.
This could be the best horse, we're talking about Winx, since Kingston Town. Do you agree?
No. No. But look, who knows? I mean, if she...
That was a big build-up there.
She's on the way to glory, there's no doubt about that. Well, what she's done this spring has been remarkable. It's the way she does it, too. I mean, she's a get-back horse that has this incredible finishing burst. But I'm not saying she can't win tomorrow, but Kingston Town's an immortal. He's a legend.
Okay. So Rue made the prediction, and it's gone on to win 3, and this year will probably win 4 Cox Plates, which has never been done.
Yeah, I'm not claiming that, by the way, but I'm happy to show that one for there. And then Ditz made this one this year on June 26 at 8:20 a.m., and he was the first man in Australia to talk about Jared Pollock.
There are two clubs in Melbourne circling, and when I say circling, actually offering substantial money. I'm led to believe that North Melbourne will throw big money at Jared Pollock, and the other club, though, is St Kilda.
Righto.
All right, so it's now come out. Now, to the same as you, Roo, I can't take full credit for that. In fact, I can't take any credit for that because
well, you
someone
got the
told me.
Yeah, but you got the sources right. And you found it.
Now, let's go back to March of this year. March the 7th, You said this.
Well, there's a bit of... Richmond have come out and said they'd love to get Tom Lynch from the Gold Coast, all right? Now, that is...
Wouldn't
that,
we all?
There's nothing in that, okay? But my mail is that they're a very, very good chance.
Oh.
A leading contender. If he was to leave the Gold Coast Suns at the end of the year...
Right.
I reckon the Tigers are leading the way this early on. Now, that's...
Stronger.
That's just my little two bobs worth right. there. You can note that on... what is the date and time?
7th of March.
7th, 6:38. 7th of March, 6:38.
Righto.
Record that.
Yeah. Spot on, Roo.
Well, we have had a good year in predictions, but we want to throw the lines open right now. 1-333-53. What have you predicted? Now, it doesn't have to be about footy or horse racing. It can be anything... In life, in the world, anything at all. What have you actually predicted that is going to happen out there? We got a prize, Ditz?
We have. We'll send you off to Under the Southern Stars.
Beautiful.
See this great Aussie lineup, Hoodoo Gurus and UMI. And
I'll predict that's going to be a great night out.
Very good. Roo, I want to give Jars a rap here because I drove off the road about 7 weeks ago. I was angry. He said Port Adelaide, who at the time were trying to finish second on the ladder, he said they'll finish ninth and miss the eight.
You serious?
Yeah.
Jar's pretty good.
The great
that.
Andrew Jarman, yeah. He said they'll finish ninth. I couldn't believe it. And what do you know?
They finished.
So he got it right.
Ninth.
Yeah. Tell us about your predictions.
1-333-53. Give us a buzz.
Oh, 7:33. I said Port Adelaide finished ninth. They finished 10th. But my point was that Jar said they would miss the finals. Sorry to be technical there.
That's okay. We know what you meant. Hey, Nostradamus here. We've got a few predictions here. Let's go to Engle Farm. G'day, Steve.
Morning, boys. How are we?
What did you predict?
I remember years ago watching the footy with my son, and there's this scrawny lad playing with two shoulders taped up, and I said he'd win a Brownlow, and Nat Fyfe ended up winning the Brownlow that year.
He was a skinny little runt when he started. He didn't look like a Brownlow medalist, so you've picked the yearling out of the sales there.
Rhiannon has sent in a message here saying that her husband said that in 2010, Collingwood and St Kilda would draw, and they did.
What year did she predict it?
No, she's saying the 2010 grand final between Collingwood and St Kilda.
Oh, before it started. Just,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She said the week before.
Oh, the
so
week
he was
before.
On
yeah, okay.
Gee,
well,
you could have
good.
Got that pays $51 if
does,
you put money on it.
Yep, have $100 on that. Let's go to Glenelg. G'day, Claire.
Hi, guys.
Right, what have Claire. You done, Claire?
I am actually predicted the birth of my second child.
How In far out?
When I was just 6 months pregnant, we had a ballot. We put $1,000 up if someone could predict the date and time.
Right.
Because I have, my babies are always born early, so it was a bit of, and I picked it. So it was
the 14th
of October.
You got the day and the time right.
You got the day
right.
The
day and the time. Yeah, the day and time.
And time. What, to the hour or to the minute?
Within 7 minutes.
Wow.
Gee,
and
that's
the
amazing.
Sex.
Yeah.
We didn't know, but we got date and time. I won my own money. It was hilarious.
Well done, Claire. Good on you. Well, that's good. Let's go to Marion. G'day, Blake.
Good morning, Jen.
What have you predicted?
So on the weekend, our A grade played in the grand final. And 4 years ago, I started coaching a young lad that got best on ground in the A grade at 16.
Right.
And what did you say, like 4 years ago?
Yeah, I've known him. Well, I've obviously coached him for 4 years, and you just pick it straight away. He's just he's great in the air. He takes absolute hangers as a young man, and like he's just a very exciting player. I just said this kid's going to be a star. I think he's got a lot to offer still, and he's growing every day.
Has Port Adelaide got his number?
I don't think so, but I'd love to pass it on to him.
All right, Blake, we'll get in touch with him. Get in touch with Ditz. He's going down there today. He could take it
down.
Well done, Blake. Let's go to Evanston Gardens. G'day, Wayne.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
What have you predicted?
I predicted when my daughter first got pregnant that she was going to have a girl, and she's determined, and she went out and bought all boys' clothes and done the boys' room all blue. And then I was right because we found out the sex of the baby 2 days ago, and, yeah, she was wrong.
Congratulations,
Grandpa. Is this your first grandchild?
Yes, it is.
Oh, how exciting, Wayne.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it, actually.
So your daughter's still not listening to you, Wayne?
No. For some reason, she's not.
All right, Wayne. Good luck, mate. Hope it all goes well. Let's go back to Glenelg again. G'day, Dave.
Hello, fellas. How are you?
What have you predicted?
In 1983, at a 21st birthday party, I had a bet with a gentleman by the name of Wacky Walker.
The Wacky Walker.
$20 bet that Ross Glendening would win the North Melbourne, would win the Brownlow.
What odds?
Well, that's what I can't find out. But the thing was, that to this day, Wacky still owes me $20 plus interest.
Wacky, if you're listening.
Plus interest, fellas, so plus I need interest. You to work it out.
Right, yeah, do the sums on that, Gordon. All right.
Some good predictions there.
Some great predictions.
Claire from Glenelg, she got it within 7 minutes. That's pretty good.
That's very
good. We're
going
to send her off to Under the Southern Stars, okay? Hoodoo Gurus, you and my Eskimo Joe, and many, many more in January. Check out the tickets at underthesouthernstars.com.au. Rue, magnificent lady, musician, and all-round champion, came in to see us a couple of weeks ago.
Blew us away.
God, did she watch Sarah and Super Jesus. They were absolutely incredible. And then Sarah came around and helped us out with our special night around in the garage, around the corner, and belted out a few tunes.
No, she can sing.
But she's involved in a very special project, and Sarah McLeod joins us now to tell us about it. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we
today? Good. Now, this is all about drought relief. This is very, very special. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, well, this is the brainchild of Scott Darlow, who took it upon himself to bring all of us musicians together and record Dragon Song Rain for drought relief to proceeds to go towards buy a bale for the farmers.
So, brilliant.
I'm really impressed with him. Like, just to take it upon himself to go to this much. I mean, not trouble, but like, it's quite a lot of
effort,
rigmarole to bring musicians together when everyone's off doing their own thing. And it was his idea. He the conception from the beginning, and he brought us all together, and it was really fun, and it sounds really cool. And he's driving the whole thing, and I didn't even know him before this.
Right.
And now I love him. I think he's amazing.
Now, who are the musos, and where are they from? Tell us about them.
Okay, so it's Adam Brand and Jack Jones.
Jack Jones.
Jack Jones, who's amazing, by the way. Oh my God!
Does he live in New York, Jack Jones?
I don't know where Jack Jones.
I think
Jones.
He does.
Didn't he used to live next to the Hawaii.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, mad surfer.
Because I thought he changed his name to Irwin Thomas, and then I saw on the artwork it said Jack Jones. I was like, oh, cool. Nice. He's going back to Jack.
Jack Irwin Thomas Jones. Yeah.
Yeah, Whispering Jack. And Scott and Todd Hunter. So yeah, it's a good little ensemble of me and a couple of blokes. And singing a dragon song, and it came out really well. So I'm just really proud to be involved in it because, everyone just does whatever they can to help out. A little bit here, a little bit there, and it makes us sort of feel like, a little bit better about trying to help.
Have you ever done a rain dance before or not? Can you make it rain or?
Well, I did one in the video clip.
Oh, really?
Of sorts. My dog was in the video clip as well.
Oh, brilliant! Cool. What's your dog's name?
Charchi.
Is it after Charchi in Happy Days?
Of course. What else is it after?
Fantastic. I always wanted to be Charchi when I was a kid.
Totally. I wanted to be Fonzie, and so I'm Fonzie, and she's my cousin Charchi.
Fantastic. Right. All right. Now, why don't we have a listen to the song, and then we'll come back and have a chat to Sarah further.
Okay.
Sarah McLeod from Super Jesus. Let's have a listen to this great song. This is Rain, and you'll hear it here on Triple M all the time, and it's going to help our drought relief farmers. Oh, right. Nice. That is absolutely brilliant.
She's done it again.
Hey, it's a good song anyway, but what a good version of it. Brilliant. Sarah, well done.
It's funny, we were writing that part at the end, that bring the rain bit, and then it just went into bring Lorraine, and then we just went into this whole thing about this weird story about this woman called Lorraine. So every time I hear it now, all I can think of is these weird lyrics that we made up about this woman called Lorraine.
Lorraine. That's what happens in France.
Hey, so
Lorraine.
How do we raise money for this, Ditz? How's this song doing? People can purchase
it. It's only $2.19 from iTunes.
Right.
And a portion of the $2.19 will go to help buy a bale, for our drought-stricken farmers.
All right.
Sarah, well done for getting involved.
Is it $2.19? I think it's all of it.
Yeah. All of the $2.19.
All right, that's even better.
And all of the publishing goes toward it as well, from Todd Hunter's Buck Hunters Estate.
So well done to the hunters for doing that, and well done to all of you as well for getting involved. It sounds really good. I can see this taking off right around the place. So well done, Sarah, and hey, good luck with your concert too. You're coming here Saturday the 29th. It's sold out, so we can't actually get tickets, but you're at the Gov on September 29th. So
grand
have a
final
great
time. Day.
Yeah, grand final day.
Beautiful.
Yeah, we are. It's sold out, so you can't come. But
no.
You never know. If you kick your ear to the ground,
we'll rub it
you
in.
Might, but you might hear of something else along the way. If you're a super sleuth, we might do something.
All right. Surprise. Thanks again, Sarah.
Thanks, fellas. Love your work.
Becoming a part of the furniture here at Triple M now. Once again, the single is Rain, and go to iTunes for $2.19. Download it, and we'll help the drought-stricken farmers. But this is too important because early this morning at about 6 o'clock, Roo, when we wrote Simon Goodwin on the whiteboard, you got that excited. Your boyfriend's coming on. Big final tonight.
Well, I tell you what, the whole of Melbourne's excited about what the Demons are doing. The whole of the competition's excited about what they're doing. They absolutely smashed the Cats last week, and that's not easy to do in a final. He's certainly up and about, and he's got his players up and about. We introduce Simon Goodwin. G'day, Goody.
Morning, Roo. Morning, Dick. It's good to speak to you as always.
Yes. Gee, you must be up and about at the moment. The Demons are just absolutely chock-a-block full of confidence and playing brilliant footy.
Yeah, look, we are, Roo. We're certainly doing a fair bit right as a team. I think probably over the last month we've started to really build some momentum and belief in our game style and what we've been building over the last couple of years. So, we've got a big challenge again tonight.
Goody, I don't mean this to be a negative question in any way, but your team was criticised for quite a few weeks, people saying, oh, they haven't beaten a top eight side. Now, all of a sudden, at the right time of the year...
Beating about three in a row.
You are beating top eight sides. Have you timed it perfectly? I mean, how would you react to that, that criticism that was there?
Yeah, well, I find it interesting, the whole debate about beating top eight sides, because generally when you're beating teams below you, they're not in the top eight, so... It's the ladder ends up being the ladder, and we obviously lost a few games and they end up being above us. So in the end, though, what's happened in the last probably month is actually that they've had that breakthrough. They've got over that hurdle of winning some really big games or games that you're expected to challenge in, especially games where you're fighting for a final berth. And once you get through that, the belief really grows. And I think the players now feel that doesn't really matter who they play, that they're in, right in it up to their ears.
For sure. Now, what we saw the other night against Geelong, from where I was sitting, you looked fast, you looked fresh, I mean, super fit. Everything just looked right. Did you do anything in the weeks leading into the finals? Was there a freshen up period? Was there some sort of break? How did you manage it?
We've been really fortunate with our training program. We've kept it really consistent throughout the whole year. But what we have really targeted with our players throughout our whole program is playing our best footy at the back end of the year and continuing to improve as the year's gone on. And I guess that's what the whole department's been focused on, is what are the steps we need to make and take to continue to improve week after week and continue to learn from some of our losses, but also how we're feeling physically and what we can do within our program. So, you're right, they did look fresh and they looked like we had good legs. So I'm looking to continue that tonight.
Do you get nervous coaching against like a great like Alistair Clarkson?
Oh, well, I think you certainly respect their program. They've built a great program over a number of years, and clearly they didn't play the way they wanted to last week. And the character of the footy club and the character of Clarko and their players, that they'll certainly respond. So you're certainly aware of the things that they're good at, and you're certainly aware of the mindset that they'll have. But I certainly don't get nervous. I certainly back our system in and our coaching group in to come up with a style of play and a game style that'll challenge most teams.
Don't want this to be too harsh on Jack Watts, but you guys look like a super, you're a tough footy side. You play contested footy. Did you push Jack Watts out last year because you don't want his style of footballer in your side in September?
Certainly not, Roo. It was certainly more of a question of what was the best thing for the Melbourne Footy Club and what was the best thing for Jack Watts. Jack had been a big part of our club for 9 years. And obviously, they'd been a much talked about 9 years. Obviously, had a lot of pressure with the number one pick. And obviously, the things weren't working out the best for either Jack or us. So the decision was, would you like a fresh start? If so, we're happy to facilitate something. And Jack put that offer up.
Bernie Vince could be a surprise inclusion, or I think he is, for Casey tomorrow.
Is he playing?
That's a miraculous recovery. Is he right to go? Is he goody?
Yeah, he's right to go. He had the surgery done that night after the Casey game, and It's normally a 6-week recovery period. He's brought that back to 5. But he's that desperate to get back involved in the program and contribute in some way. Our BFL team are playing a prelim final on Saturday, and that'll give him the best chance to work his way back into the team.
Gee, that's great news. I thought it was his season was over. That is big news.
Could be a fairy tale there for Ben. Who knows? What about a player like Nathan Jones? The club's been starved of final success for 12 years. Have you seen the look in their eyes, players like Nathan Jones, who's never really had a crack at playing seriously in September?
Yeah, I think that's the great thing about footy, Roo, the fulfilment that certain people get that have been involved in footy clubs for a long time, whether it be supporters or players. And Nathan's one of those. You know, you can just see in his face the excitement, the joy and the satisfaction that he's seeing with his club, and obviously the joy that that's bringing to everyone around him. So he's certainly really determined. He's excited, but you know, I think he's now finally captaining a team that he really believes in.
Goody, from what I can gather, everyone else in Victoria is very, very grateful and thankful. There are weekend specials at Falls Creek, Mount Hotham. They're all empty. There's no one there. You can get cheap deals from anywhere in Australia at the moment. So you've done a good thing for the tourism industry as well.
No, apparently we've had some really good snowfall here too, so the season's open a bit longer, so we might have to get up there at the end.
Well, good luck tonight. Yeah, it's going to be chock-a-block at the MCG, mate. A huge game for you and the Demons. Good luck.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for the support.
Good on you, mate. Simon Goodwin. And, this will be a real good game tonight, Roo. Looking forward to it. 6 o'clock, we will rock it here on Triple M. Our special guest, Simon Goodwin. And what a great job he's done,
Roo. Yeah, he's done a super job.
Fit more of what you love in the new Tiguan All-Space 7-seat SUV at Southern Volkswagen. Main South Road, Ranelagh.